Bob Sugarman.
And Sally Sugarman.
And welcome back to Theater Talk. Before introducing today's guest, we'd like to take a moment to talk about a remarkable theatrical experience we had at the opening of Hubbard Hall's Farming Plays project last Friday.
Actually, it was last Saturday, Bob.
It was last Saturday. That's correct. David Snyder, last week's guest on Theater Talk, is the Executive Artistic Director at Hubbard Hall. He had students from three area high schools interview farmers and then write their responses to the interviews. David, assisted by Aaron Gildea, who also visited us last week, wove this material into a truly exciting theatrical event that provides insight into the area's farming community. The show concludes its run this Friday at 7:30, Saturday at 2 p.m. and 7:30. No, at Friday at 7:30, and then Saturday at 2 and 7:30, and Sunday at 2. Performances are in the small Freight Depot Theater, and seating is limited. You can reserve tickets at 518-677-2495. That's the Hubbard Hall Farming Plays Project.
Today's guests, Jackie and Tony Morrow, are theater goers who divide their time between Bennington, where Tony's on the Oldcastle Theater Board. Actually, he's president of the board. And Providence, Rhode Island, which is home to the highly esteemed Trinity Rep Theater. They also go on tours to London and to some other cities abroad as well, and they will talk to us about that. So they've seen theater we haven't seen, and we like to talk to them about it because they've got a broad range of theaters that they can talk about. So welcome, and tell us, why do you like going to theater?
You know, that's a question that a couple of classmates of mine have asked. Why go to live theater? What's the fascination of it? And actually, if the theater is done well, you're really engulfed in just a magical experience. It's very different than going to a movie, very different than having a conversation or reading a book about the topic or reading the play. It's happening right in front of you. You get to see it, mistakes. You get to see wonderful interactions between actors. And for a lot of the plays you see, it's actually almost like they've created a whole different world that you're a part of. I remember seeing Starlight Express, where you had trains up on top of mechanical structures running throughout the play, or Miss Saigon, where you had a helicopter landing on stage. And we just saw a play last week called Mountaintop, and the ending of it was quite dramatic with the
That's a play about Martin Luther King.
It is. They sort of opened it on Martin Luther King's birthday, January 15th, and it was really very, very interesting play, but the stuff that they did at the end of it was quite remarkable. I almost can't describe it. It was so unusual.
Tony, you want to?
Well, the Mountaintop, it may seem strange, but it is a wickedly funny as well as moving play about Martin Luther King's last night at the Lorraine Motel in Memphis before he was murdered. And he spends the night with a hotel cleaning woman who is really an angel who's been sent down to prepare to take him home. And while the play is moving in many ways, it's hysterically funny at the same time.
I'm already crying when you said that about the angel.
When it ends, they immediately show about 3 minutes worth of fast frame film clips on a huge screen showing important moments in civil rights and black progress since Martin Luther King was killed, including the track stars at the Olympics where they raised fists, and on to Barack Obama. And then at the very end, they show the front page of the New York Times where Donald Trump has just been elected. And Martin Luther King character says, "We've come so far, and we still have so far to go.
Wow. Oh, wow.
Just a description of
that. That was a Trinity rep, and I was checking them out on the internet. They do spectacular staging there.
They do some very interesting staging. A few years ago, they did a version of Camelot that was actually done in a subway tube in London during World War II, and Lancelot came in not on a horse but riding a motorcycle.
It sounds a lot more interesting than the original, which I couldn't stand.
Well, they do the Christmas Carol. How many years have they been doing it? Ever since they opened up. And every year it's different. And it's amazing how creative they end up making it, how different it is from the year before. We saw one year where they had a wire going from the middle of the stage up into the seating, and one of the characters actually is on a bicycle riding down into the part of the stage. It was in the most incredible costumes. It was just something you look at and go, wow. And then a few years ago, they had Fred Sullivan, who's a regular with them in all the place. He was playing Scrooge, and his miraculous awakening to being a good person. They've got film of him running down the streets of Providence, waving to people. It was absolutely hysterical. So they can have a very traditional one. They can have something that's very untraditional, something that's way out there. But every year they come up with a new version of the Christmas Carol.
They also do a couple of other interesting things. They use a lot of women in what are traditionally male roles. Last year they did Julius Caesar. Caesar was a woman. About 5 years ago, they did A Christmas Carol with a black woman as Scrooge. And they also, we could have begun doing a lot of things, traditional plays, as musicals. A few years ago, they did All the King's Men, which they turned into a musical with Randy Newman music from his Good Old Boys album. They did Grapes of Wrath, was staged entirely at a bar with a band and original music. And up at the GAM in Pawtucket last year, they did A Streetcar Named Desire with a blues band off to the side, which sort of brought New Orleans even more to life. And the star of that was Mariana Basham, who's appeared twice at Oldcastle. And she was so good as Blanche that one of the theater critics in Boston said it's worth the drive to down to Pawtucket to see her.
Wow. Yeah, we loved her here. She was lovely.
Well, how many shows do they do in a year?
Trinity Rep usually does 7, plus A Christmas Carol, and The Christmas Carol pays the bills.
Mm-hmm.
But they also have, well, you could have something that they do with the State Arts Council in Rhode Island, that they stage every year one good play as matinees, so that every 11th grade student in Rhode Island could get into the theater free to see a matinee at Trinity Rep. The GAM in Pawtucket is a much smaller theater, which does remarkable things with a very small cast, very small theater. It's even smaller than Oldcastle Theater.
Is it related to Trinity Rep? Is it part of Trinity Rep?
No. Oh. It's not, except that there are several people from Trinity Rep who direct plays there.
Yeah.
Or act in them. There is a lot of exchange programs sort of between GAM and Trinity, and also Brown, the university, has a theater program there, which a lot of the actors, and matter of fact, a lot of the original music for a lot of the plays has been music that's been done by the students in the, what do they call that, graduate
program? I wanted to ask about the graduate, yeah, about the relationship, yeah, between Brown and,
yeah,
Trinity Rep.
Yeah, very definitely.
The relationship is very close. The two people who direct the program are both from Trinity Rep. But you could get Kurt Columbus, who's the artistic director at Trinity Rep, also teaches there. An awful lot of young actors and actresses come straight out of Brown, you know, onto the stage at Trinity Rep. It's been going on for quite a while now.
I think one of those actresses is Nehisayo DeGans, who's then played here with Oldcastle, and last summer was spectacular down at Shakespeare and Company.